Jumping in on Manx Radio
with Howard and Chris Kane.
Hello.
Good evening.
And welcome. Ah, yes, it is indeed that time again, 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, which means it's time for Jumping in the Best in Modern and Contemporary Jazz with myself, H.
And me, Chris. Yes, welcome along to this week's Jumping In, where we focus on the art of saying more with less, or little and often, but not quite the same. Yes, it's a special focusing on minimalism in jazz, with an interview from the master of Zen Funk, as he calls it, pianist and composer Nick Birch. But before all that, what have you been paring down to the bare minimum this week, H?
Yes, well, I'm staying with a minimalist theme, and surprisingly, there's an awful lot of it, which is a bit of a paradox, isn't it? I just took a random selection of some favourites over the years. The Necks, Hanging Gardens, they've been going for a goodly number of years now. One, I know he's got a new one out, Neil Cowley, as he heads to space with those apes. And of course, an old favourite from way back, still going, knocking around, and have had a minimalist bent.
And from me, well, some Scottish strata, sedimentary, my dear Watson. A standard unit of measurement from the Far East, a gamelan introduction. But first, the regular listeners will know we like to kick off the show with a big band. Can you have a minimalist big band? Well, let's find out as we take a quick ride in a jazzmobile.
Thank you.
that.
I fooled you, that one.
Yes,
it
caught me out at the end there. But a quick ride in a jazzmobile from the Latvian radio Big Band and Randy Brecker. Yes, from their 2017 release, Big Band Minimalism, the works of Mats Holmqvist. We heard solos there from Randy on trumpet and Carl Svanags on soprano sax, and indeed the very fine Latvian...
Carl Svanags, that's a good name.
Carl Svanags, yes. The very fine Latvian radio Big Band. And can you have a big band that does minimalism? Well, I think they've soundly proved that you can.
Indeedy. I'm going the opposite way rather than absolutely current. I'm digging back into an old favourite from, would you believe, Whisper It Not Abroad, something like 41 years ago. Hugh Hopper and Alan Gowan, Two Rainbows Daily. I think it's about 1980 it came out, with definitely minimalist tendencies in places. No more so than in this one, which I used to play quite a lot on my cassette recorder, would you believe, amongst other things.
They're coming back, don't knock it.
They are coming back. But yeah, I've always really liked this one. You can sort of, you know, sit back. I don't know about Zen Groove, but you can certainly meditate to it. Fish Tank One.
Thank you.
noted as a Canterbury classic, I see, since it's been reissued. It's just reading there. Two Rainbows Daily, Hugh Hopper, Alan Gowan from 1980. Long out of print. I first heard it on vinyl, probably your vinyl, I imagine.
Indeed.
I think you said you've got it on CD now as well. And it has been reissued, and it sounds like you might have the reissue with some extra material. Long out of print has been reissued. Two fine composers. Lots of overdubs going on there, as you might notice. Not a full band, it is literally the two of them, Hugh Hopper on bass and Alan Gowan playing with the synths and overdubs as well. Stripped down sort of sound, but is classed as an intimate release. And I note this line here: crafty melodies and subtle tone colours mastered directly off the master tapes. It sounds now terrific with no vinyl crackle. Make of that what you will. And if you've got the CD, which you have, you get a 20 minutes of extra material. Wouldn't mind hearing that. And seen as a Canterbury classic, the Canterbury Jazz, yes, you may imagine of that period. And it still, it does sound of its time. That's none the worse for that.
You see, I loved all that stuff. I know you were less convinced, but Soft Machine, Caravan, Camel, Hatfield and the North, National Health, absolutely terrific stuff. Alan Gowan, of course, played with National Health. He did unfortunately pass away, and their final album as a band was a tribute with his compositions on it. Very fine indeed. Next now, a young Scottish band who've been making waves since their debut in 2019, Obelisk, which won them international acclaim in the press and was nominated for a Scottish Album of the Year. Clash magazine, not one I read regularly, described it as startling, groundbreaking. It explodes definitions to seize fresh space. Well, now there's a second out. Here's Graham Costello Strata with Eudaimonia.
Thank you.
Terrific stuff. That was drummer and composer Graham Costello's band Strata with Eudaimonia, taken from their recently released second album, Second Lives. And what a great band they are, too. Recommended me to me, in fact, by Tommy Smith, no less, when we chatted with him recently, as you'll be able to hear in a forthcoming special. Another, gosh, we're good to you.
And, another, yes.
Made up with the cream of young Scottish
How
jazz.
How do we do it?
Harry Weir on tenor, Liam Shortall on trombone, Fergus McCready, who we have featured on the show a couple of times, on piano, Joe Williamson on guitar, Mark Hendry on the bass, and, of course, Graham Costello on the drums.
You are listening to Jumping In, the best in modern and contemporary jazz here on Manx Radio, of course, with Chris and myself, H. And it is, as we said at the outset, and as you might have gathered, even if you missed the blurb at the beginning, a bit of a minimalist jazz special. Yes, jazz minimalism. It does exist, even in the big band format, which is pretty impressive. You've got to often think perhaps of just solo piano, and that's where we're heading now, because we're going to enjoy listening to Nick Baetsch, the Zen Funk Master, I think he entitles himself. If you're familiar with his work with Ronin and Mobile as well, on the ECM label, been around for a long time, a Swiss piano master, several albums out live and recorded on the ECM label over the last few years, and a new one out just in the last few months called Entendre. We've had the pleasure of listening to that, and also the pleasure of catching up with Nick from his Swiss HQ, his Swiss bass via the wonders of Zoom, to ask him about the new album, which features just himself on piano. None of the, quite often does the big band, or at least a large ensemble with marimbas, xylophones, other percussive, bass guitars, etc. This is just him and a piano.
Thank you. It's a solo album, but as usual in my work, it's a collaboration with the producer and the sound engineer and all our 6 ears. So we really have landed the music, our ears, that the music directs the recording. That was my idea when I play solo, that I'm not putting myself into the center, but that I'm letting myself be surprised of what's happening and accepting this with an irony and flexibility to follow where the music brings us. And that was a very fruitful experience in the studio, as usual, because with the bands, as you know, I usually work over the years with working bands, that we have this inspiring collaboration of a few guys working together.
And you really like to explore the percussive element of the instrument as well, I think. So as well as obviously playing in what you might call a standard fashion, you enjoy taking to the strings, plucking strings out, also using the sort of soundboard and the actual reverberance of the piano case itself, as it were.
Right. For me, the piano is a full orchestra, and the percussive aspect is very important. We know that from the piano as a historic instrument, that there were many composers, players who used that. But in my case, I have a mix of interest in that percussion aspect, also because I played drums actually a lot as a kid, and I'm very interested in percussive music in general from all sorts of styles. So this aspect, by using the fingers and very careful preparations that the piano is not harmed, is very important for me. I must say that in the beginning of my career, I very often had such bad pianos that preparation sometimes also helped to make it sound better.
I know, looking back, it's Chris here, Nick, speaking right. Of your childhood and obviously being a drummer percussionist before you got into playing the piano. You mentioned in your bio on the website that one of your inspirations was Steve Reich, in fact, and I was thinking back to my introduction to some of his music and potentially Pat Metheny playing electric counterpoint back in 1987.
Right.
And I wondered if that was something that actually inspired you towards the Zen funk movement of Ronin.
That's one major influence. I know that recording also, of course, and many of Steve Reich's music, especially also his writing and piano face, as we know.
Yes.
What I like in his music is he uses a lot of percussion instruments in a very fluid sense, but also uses the marimba, which is such a beautiful instrument that
Lovely.
Is actually
yes.
quite close to prepared piano, with that warm wooden sound that in combination with other instruments can create sounds that we never heard before. And the marimba is a very fresh percussive instrument of the 20th century, and it's still in development. Actually, a lot of interesting composers are writing for that. So that influenced me a lot in my first band, Mobile. The one major partner was the guy who played marimba, actually, and influenced me a lot in my listening.
Are you happy with the term Zen funk for the music? Is it something you think is an accurate description?
Well, to be honest, I've chosen that myself to bring people talking about my music not on the wrong track. You know, we, of course, are influenced a lot by jazz as a very important tradition, playing with improvisation and with a consciousness for freedom in music and treating material. But on the other hand, we have also a lot of cliches in jazz. And when we are describing my music, it's dangerous to just call it jazz or meditative jazz or minimal jazz. It leads to the wrong direction. In our music is a lot of funk, drive, very sensual, direct rhythmic energy. And this kind of tension between the emptiness and presence of the Zen tradition, which is actually also very percussive, and on the other hand, that very sensual, direct kinetic energy of funk inspired me always and also helped me to survive every day. So I thought I'd create a music and give that name that sounds like a paradox, but also sounds like a promise for the future. Thank you.
Yes, now you're listening to Module 17 Tokyo, I think, which if you ever get the opportunity to see them live, as indeed this recording is, it's spectacular. One of the things that immediately strikes you is that the band don't use any looping devices. Everything is played absolutely accurately and live. And the other curiosity is that all of Nick's tracks are all called Module, which perhaps makes it hard to remember a favourite track. And I asked him how that came about.
Well, Chris, first of all, when I created my first record, I was a bit extreme and did not give any title to a track. So I just had the lengths of the pieces on the record because I thought that makes sense. It's just music, you know, let's listening to the duration of that mystic kind of structure in the air. But then realistically, I started to think about what titles can I give that we can, you know, talk about the pieces. And usually each piece has an idea and a structure and a clear dramaturgy. And when we were rehearsing or when I was talking to other people, we needed names for the pieces. So I wanted to find a piece name that allows you to bring in your own poetic freedom, your feelings, your emotions, your thoughts about the music. And that's why I've chosen a title that is kind of technical, yes, in the way the music is written, but on the other hand also goes on the tradition of etudes, sonatas, yes, and, you know, technical descriptions of pieces like that.
Another thing I noticed, we mentioned your inspirations, but you've inspired a great many other musicians to hereafter, I would say, particularly with your style of playing, and not least in the formation of your own Ronin Rhythm label. You've got a number of other artists who play varying styles of minimalist-inspired rhythmic and jazz-associated music, including more vocal group, perhaps, with Icarus. But also in Switzerland, there are a number of other groups like the Accu Quintet, for example, or Sonar, who spring to mind. And is it something that you already felt there was an influence, or do you feel you're a driving father behind that figure?
Well, that's a complex question. I think this is a long development, and we are influenced by many people, and very often some ideas are in the air or in a community. So what for me is important is to be part of an inspiration chain without saying that, you know, I've invented it, but somehow that we support each other and influence each other. And what then is important, of course, is that each band, each artist brings out a known view on that. And of course, then when you collaborate with several artists or support them or produce them or just be in exchange, then you create a certain community that starts to develop different solutions for these minimalistic problems you create actually when you write this music. For example, in Sonar, one of the composers, Stefan Thelen, is older than I am, and he already experimented with things influenced by King Crimson and so on in the 80s. So I wouldn't say that I influenced him, but I was not so much in guitar music, but much more in classical chamber music, minimal music, and also ritual and jazz music from all over the world. So these influences are quite diverse, and I like the outcome, and I like that we could actually create a lot of music that flows in the similar directions, but has quite an individual character.
And what was it that first drew you into the concept of minimalism? It is a very specified, rarefied area for some people. I know not everyone loves it. What was it first drew you into the concept of minimalism, the music of the likes of Reich and Glass and perhaps Cage and such like?
Right. So first of all, I was very interested in rhythmic music that worked with pattern already. As a kid, I was drumming on plates, on ashtrays, on all sort of stuff. I liked rhythmic energy and kinetic flow of music. But that leaded me also to an interest in quite eclectic things. And I discovered over boogie-woogie jazz, then Gershwin, Bartok, also modern abstract classical music, a lot of funk, Brazilian music and things like that. So then finally, as a teenager, I was diving into all these styles. And in the beginning of my 20s, I was asking myself, what is really essential? What are my affinities? And in music conservatory, I learned also a lot about American minimalism, but also about Ligeti and European influences in, let's call it, a known view on minimalistic development. And I started to explore that in combination with my interest in Japanese music and into groove music, where you actually, in a lot of groove music like funk, also find a lot of minimalistic developments and kinetic flow energy. And that led to a quite radical questioning of my own affinities and also my own energy. Where do I have something to say? And that's why I cut it down all my involvement in other bands and try to focus on my music, on the philosophy behind it, and on the training of it. Hi, everybody. I'm Nick Bertsch, composer, pianist, producer from Zurich, Switzerland. Looking very much forward to be on your radio for jumping in on Manx Radio. And you might hear some of my music. Thanks a lot, Howard and Chris. This comes directly from the Zenfunk main station.
Neil Cowley and his trio from the album Space Bound Apes, and a track he calls Governance there, with, again, very much a minimalist feel. The rest of that album, much more atmospheric in many ways and quite a lot of electronics and some more spacey stuff, but we need a bit of variety from time to time, don't we? And many, many thanks, of course, to the Zenfunk master himself, Nick Bertsch, for spending the time to talk to us. And again, we've heard a little bit with Ronan and also from his wonderful new album, Entendre, on ECM, solo piano. Although, as he says, I look at it like an orchestra. You can play the keys, you can pluck the strings, you can hammer the sides, you can hammer the legs, you can treat the piano to make different sounds. It's a whole orchestra in itself. Wonderful stuff.
Fantastic stuff. Yes, that's about it for this week's Jumping In. Neil Cowley, by the way, he's got a new one out, Hall of Mirrors. We'll bring you a bit of that later on. And yes, thanks to Nick for taking the time to talk to us. And if you ever get a chance to see him, either solo or with Ronan, it really is a mesmerising experience and quite hypnotic. But never fear, we'll be back to our usual excess next week. But for now, there's just time to leave you with a young Polish pianist and composer who is making waves on the international stage, splitting her time between Poland, where she hails from, and Berlin, with her solo looped performance, unlike Ronin, who meticulously play without effects. There's space for both approaches, I think. Anyway, here's Hania Rani with Bucha, recorded live at Studio S2 in Berlin.
A Scottish jazz special coming up on the rail. See you then.
Bye for now.